thousands in a million. We are all Palestinians. Okay, the next speaker I want to invite up to the stage is Dr. Sanjay Adsimili. And I think, like, from that chant just before that we are all Palestinians, he is someone that embodies that message of solidarity. He is a surgeon who spent time in Gaza up till about 4 or 5 weeks ago trying to treat people who are victims of this genocide. So I want you to give him a warm welcome that he's come here to speak to us, and thank him very much for his work and his solidarity.
Thank you, everyone. I'd first start off by acknowledging the traditional owners of this land. And I want to tell you, up until a month ago, I felt I was the most ignorant surgeon in Sydney. And the reason being is because I thought we lived in a beautiful world, but coming back from Gaza, I actually realized that we don't. We live in a world where there is a massacre happening in a country, and we're sitting here enjoying the luxuries of our city, and I acknowledge Sydney is a wonderful place, but most people are ignorant to what is happening halfway across the world, where children are being massacred in the thousands. Now, something that a surgeon, whilst I was in Gaza, he said something to me that stuck with me. He said, "You might come here and you might operate on 100 people and save 80%, but when you come back and you spread the word of what you saw, that could potentially save thousands." So I feel it's my responsibility now to tell you exactly what is happening, and hopefully you can spread that message and we can impart some change. So I'm a surgeon. I'm also a co-founder of a charity called the Global Medical Foundation, and we've been doing medical missions for many years, but nothing prepared me for what I saw in Gaza. I was there for just over 2 weeks, and the very first day that I was stationed at Al-Aqsa Hospital, there was a bombing close by in a little dirt area next to a bunch of tents. And 20 people came in one instant. The entire emergency department floor was full of bodies. Half of them were already dead. I would go through and I would assess each patient, and with a permanent marker, if they were dead, I'd put a cross on their chest and move on to the next one. The floor would be covered in blood. Half of these people would be children, little kids. And I would assess one child, and whilst I go to the next one, this child would die before my eyes. It is horrible. And you cannot tell me that a government is sitting there trying to stop terrorism when there is all these innocent civilians being killed on a daily basis. To give you some perspective, the first child that I operated on when I was in Al-Aqsa Hospital was a 6-year-old boy who was in a little dirt area playing with his older brother. A bomb struck that dirt area, and I had to take this young boy to the operating theatre because he had shrapnel injury to his chest, to his abdomen. He had lacerations to his lung. He had lacerations to his heart. He had holes in his intestine. I took him to the operating theatre. I opened his chest, closed off any hole that I could stop to control the bleeding, had to fix his intestine. This poor innocent boy went back to the intensive care unit, and he died 2 days later after undergoing these horrific injuries. His poor mum would come to me every day and say, "How is my son doing?" And I'd say, "He's okay, let's pray and let's see how he goes." Knowing full well that there was a very high likelihood that this young boy would die. He did die. 2 days later, his older brother, who was playing with him in that field, died as well. So in an instant, two children from that family were killed. The following day, a girl came in who reminded me of my own daughter. She had her left arm missing. It was spurting out blood. I had to apply a tourniquet to that left arm to stop the bleeding. Her family brought in the arm wrapped in a towel. I took that girl to the operating theater as well. Had to open her abdomen, control bleeding from her abdomen. Had to amputate the stump of her left arm. And she survived. But this is a young girl who is completely innocent, who woke up that morning not knowing that she would end up in hospital with debilitating, disfiguring injuries as the result of a war that she has got absolutely nothing to do with. 2 days after that, there was a 12-year-old boy who came in with his intestines hanging out of his abdomen from a missile strike. The exit wound was through his buttock. And this poor young boy, he was in agonizing pain. He had no pain relief because the supplies are restricted at the border and are not let through to help these victims. This innocent kid had his genitals blown off. His pelvis was fractured. His bladder was gone. His rectum had disintegrated. I did what I could to save him, but whilst I was operating on him, I couldn't see what I was doing because I was blinking away tears, thinking, this poor young kid, am I doing this kid a service by saving his life? And a part of me, as horrific as it sounds, was sitting there thinking, I hope this young boy just passes away peacefully. That didn't happen. This poor kid went off to the ward with no pain relief because it wasn't available. He died in the end, an agonizing death. And this should not be happening. Now, to give you some perspective, on our way to Al-Aqsa Hospital, which is one of the few remaining hospitals in Gaza, it is a maternity hospital. It's not designed to deal with trauma, and it's probably the only hospital now that is managing all the trauma patients. It is probably smaller than Mount Druitt Hospital, and that is catering for 2.2 million people. That is unheard of in a situation where there is war, where there is injured coming in. Imagine all of Sydney being catered for to by Mount Druitt Hospital and treating these war injuries. They can't cope. There is not enough resources, and every other hospital is being systematically destroyed and leveled. The universities are being leveled. I drove through, on the way to Al-Aqsa, through a city called Khan Yunis, which is probably the second biggest city in Gaza. It was home to 750,000 people, which is three times the size of Parramatta. Imagine a city being three times the size of Parramatta, and this city has been completely destroyed. All these people now live in tents. There are 10 people per tent. For every 10 tents, there is one toilet. So for every 100 people, there is one toilet. They're living off canned food. They can't afford the food because it's so expensive because of the shortage that's happening. I have come back and I have written to politicians. I have had people writing to politicians on my behalf. We have written to Anthony Albanese. We do not get a response. We have written to Penny Wong on two separate occasions, and I get back an insulting, generic response talking about how Australia is helping Gaza, which does not address anything that I have seen or have witnessed. I want them to know what is happening. It is atrocious. There are innocent people being killed. If you can imagine the Sydney Olympic Stadium completely full, a third of them are children. That's how many people have been killed or died in this conflict. That is atrocious. And I want our politicians to know what is happening, and we need to start taking action so this stops. I applaud all of you for coming in this rain and coming week in, week out, because eventually your voice will be heard. And hopefully we can live in a world which we will be proud of, and we can one day say it is a beautiful world. Thank you.